Greetings from Tony Brew Ministries. Here is a Bible teaching session entitled Difficult Passages in Genesis and Exodus.
Some people say, I just don't understand the Bible. It's hard to understand. It's difficult. Well, there are some difficult passages in the Bible. And today we're looking at some difficult passages in Genesis and Exodus. The Bible itself is not really difficult. The message of the cross is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's about as simple as you can get. Saved or lost, heaven or hell, holiness or sin, it's not much more simple than you get than that. But even in difficult scripture, it contains truth for our benefit. We can learn from all of God's word, whether you're talking about the Psalms or Proverbs, or you're talking about the Gospels, the Epistles, the Old Testament, Law and Prophets, all of it is for our benefit and our learning. Our golden text verse is Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. The secret things belong to God. He knows everything. And those things that He has chosen to reveal to us belong unto us and to our children. We can be benefited from those things which God reveals to us. And He has chosen to reveal His word to us. He said, I did not do this thing in a corner. This thing was not done in secret. God could have kept Himself secretly from us, but He revealed Himself to us through His Word. He reveals Himself to us through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God, which reveals the things of God to us. Supernatural experiences. This is our first section, and it comes from Genesis chapter 15. God reveals Himself to Abram, who we know as Abraham, through a vision in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, saying, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God promised Abraham, I am your shield. I am the one who will protect you. I am the one who is your exceeding great reward. I will reward and I will bless you. Abraham wanted to know, why then do I not have a child? If you are my rewarder, if you are my exceeding great reward, I don't even have a child. I don't even have an heir. One that's born in my house, a stranger, is my heir. But God assured him that he would have a son. Abraham wanted to know, I don't even have a seed to call my very own. God brings him out. Verse 5. He brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven. Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Abraham looks at those stars. The starry night, God made a night that was so clear, you could see all the stars. And he tells Abraham, Look up. Count those stars, if you're able to number them. And I'm sure Abraham said, Nobody can number those stars, Lord. Just look at them. I've never seen so many stars in all my life. And God said, He said to him, So shall thy seed be. Now God made Abraham this promise. All those stars, you see all those stars, Abraham, nobody can count them but me. And that's the way your seed is going to be. And God can do that. We know God can do anything. But when God promised Abraham that, Abraham didn't even have a son. He had no child to call his own. And yet God is saying, this is the way your seed will be. In order for there to be a seed, there has to be a child. There has to be a son. Someone has to have a child. And Abraham did not have a child. And he was trying to contemplate in his mind how God could do that. Maybe it'll come through Eliezer. Maybe it'll come through somebody, a servant out of his house. And God assured him that he would have his own son. And because through him, your seed would be like the stars of the sky and like the sand of the sea. He believed in the Lord, that is, Abraham believed in God. He had a decision to make. Will I look at the flesh? Will I stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, like Romans 4 talks about? Or will I believe God? Will I believe in hope against hope? Will I have faith in God? Abraham chose to believe God. He didn't wait until he had a son to believe God. He believed God anyway. And God counted it to him for righteousness. God stamped righteousness on Abraham's account, and Abraham was a saved man in the Old Testament. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. God not only promised him a son, but he promised him the land that he was a stranger in. I have brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees into this land to give this land to you and to your descendants. I promise this land to your descendants, to give this land to your descendants who were not even born yet. But Abraham believed God, and he said to God, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How will I know that I will inherit this land? It's all right to ask God a question. It's not all right to question God. Abraham never questioned God, but he did have several questions. One of the questions was, why have you not given me a son yet? The other question is, how will I know that I will inherit this land? And he said unto him, and he told him to take a heifer, a 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and also a turtle dove and a pigeon. So there were five different beasts or animals, and he took all these, he got them ready for sacrifice, divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. There's a sermon in that. When the evil spirits, evil beasts, as it were, tried to devour the foundations on which our nation, our church, our lives are built, we do like Abraham did. Get away, you birds. Get away, you evil spirits. Get away, you liberalism. Get away. We're not going to fall for that. There's a sermon in that. And Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, now he begins to talk to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And he's telling Abraham, your seed, who's not even born yet, your seed will be a stranger in a strange land, and they will serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years. Now he's talking to him about things way in the future. Also that nation whom they serve will I judge. Afterwards shall they come out with great substance. This is what happened when Moses led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They didn't come out empty. They came out with silver and gold and all this. And then God talks to Abraham about his own self. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Abraham, you're going to live a long life. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and the Hebrew word is the same word for a fire pot, which was their version of an oven, a smoking oven and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. God, in a supernatural way, went between the pieces of the animals, the sacrifice, and he burned up the sacrifice, showed Abraham in a supernatural way that God was making a covenant. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thee, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, Israel is not that big today, but God promised them all of the land. All of the land over there belongs to them. And God said specifically, it will go all the way from the land of Egypt, all the way to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, our second situation is in the book of Exodus, and it's called dangerous omissions. That is, things that you leave out that you shouldn't leave out. God has spoken to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, bring my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. I want you to speak to Pharaoh." And Moses had to flee because he had killed an Egyptian. Pharaoh had word of it. Moses had to hightail it out of there. So he had to flee. The Lord said unto Moses in Midian, "Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life." Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So he had the rod of God. God told him to do the miracles, throw it down and make a snake, pick it back up, become a rod, put his hand in his bosom, draw it back out. He had several things that God told him to do to Pharaoh to show the mighty power of God. The Lord said unto Moses, "When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Behold, I say unto you, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." And if you study it and read it, that's exactly what happened before it was over with. It came to pass, by the way, in the end, and this is the difficult part of the scripture, that the Lord met him, that is, he met Moses, he confronted him, and he sought to kill him. And you say, why in the world would God speak to him, tell him to go before Pharaoh, and then try to kill him? Well, Moses hadn't done something that he should have done. Then Zipporah, that is Moses' wife, Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So he let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision." Now I know that we're mixed company and perhaps that's a little uncomfortable for you, but God had told Abraham, that's one of the covenants he made with Abraham, "All your descendants will be circumcised. The male children will be circumcised." Moses, for whatever reason, had forgotten to circumcise at least one of his sons, one of his children. And God was angry about it. You don't just overlook something. It's easy for us to overlook things, but when God gives you a specific thing to do, you're to obey him. And Moses had failed to do it, and when this confrontation took place, his wife took care of the situation, and that's why she said, "A bloody husband you are to me." And then she said it again. That's good. Women can do that. They can say things more than one time. "A bloody husband you are to me because of the circumcision." And now we're in Exodus 33. Forbidden vision. God allowed Moses to see some great things, but he couldn't see everything. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. God and Moses had this relationship. Of course, you and I have a greater relationship under the new covenant. And if you're not speaking to God face to face, some people said, if you're going to pray for me, be on speaking terms with the Lord. So we need to be on speaking terms with the Lord, be able to speak to him face to face. And we are not actually face to face with God yet, but we can speak to him, as it were, face to face through the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. He speaks to him as a man talks to his friend. "He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Moses goes into the tabernacle, and he talks to God, and he comes out, and he tells the people what God said. "Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So this dialogue continues. Moses is just talking to God. God is just talking to Moses. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, that I may keep on finding grace in your sight, is the idea. Consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, that is, God said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Thank God for that rest. Jesus said, you could take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest unto your soul. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, your presence does not go with us, I don't want to go. For wherein shall it be known that I have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses said, anybody can claim a God, but I want you to know, I want the world to know that we are your people. How will it be known that I and your people are separated from all the people of the earth? Is it not that your presence goes with us? The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, Moses says to God now, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Lord, you've talked to me. Lord, you've assured me that your presence is going with me. But I want to see your glory. I want to know your glory. Thank God. Jesus said, I came to give them the glory of God. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. And he gives us the glory of God. God said, I will not share my glory with another. But we can experience the glory of God by having a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, Moses. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And Paul repeats this again in the book of Romans. God is gracious to whom he will be gracious. He has mercy on whom he will have mercy. And thank God he's gracious to us. And thank God he has mercy on us. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Moses, the forbidden vision is, I'll let you experience my glory. I'll let you experience my presence, but you cannot see my face. No man can see me and live. And that's why John said, no man has seen God at any time. Nobody has seen him face to face. You cannot see me, he said, and live. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and covers me there with his hand, the psalm said. I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And so these passages that we have before us today, they are considered to be different and difficult. But even the difficult passages, some people think that the names in the Bible are difficult. And they are. That's why we have names like Tony and Bill and John and Susie and Sally. We don't have all them hard names. But the message of the Bible itself is not difficult. The message of the Bible is plain and simple. God tells the children of Israel, you do what's right. You do what my word says, and I will bless you. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. All the goodness of God. I will make my goodness to pass before you. Your goodness, I can hear them singing it right now. Your goodness is running after me, is running after me. And all the goodness of God, I will bless the Lord for all the good things that he has bestowed upon us. And his goodness, with my breath while I live, I will praise him for all the good things that he has bestowed upon us. difficult passages in Genesis and Exodus. Some people have difficulty even believing the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. If you have problems there, you're going to have problems all the way through. God did create heaven and earth, and the same God that created us wants us to have a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this lesson today. And I thank You for the opportunity to talk to Your people from Genesis and Exodus and these, what the writer calls, difficult passages. And it's simple. All we have to do is walk in the covenant that You've given us and do the things that we should and experience the glory of God. Even though some things are forbidden that we don't understand, I don't need to understand. I just need to hold His hand. And help us, Lord, to do that and to trust You, to trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And I pray that many would come to that trust, realization of loving You and being saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a Bible teaching session entitled Difficult Passages in Genesis and Exodus. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. He will help you understand the Bible. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.